Now, ladies and gentlemen, the nation's foremost roving reporter, revealing what happens when the worlds of the ruling class and the common man collide. Taking you across the nation to offend the foes of liberty, seek our real heroes, and tear down the obstacles to restoring freedom. Here's When Worlds Collide with your host, Mark Anderson.
Okay. And here we are with another installment of When Worlds Collide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And in just a few minutes after the break, we're going to have Ellen Brown on, the author of Web of Debt. And she has written a very impressive book, ladies and gentlemen, that I read some time back, actually back in March, when I met her at a rally or conference, really, in Irvine, California. And I learned a lot about the money system from that book and from books on social credit and other monetary reform measures. And no issue could be more important these days than monetary reform, ladies and gentlemen. It's the one overriding issue into which all the others tie in at one level or another in one manner or another. Detroit, Michigan, as we speak, is crumbling in many, many neighborhoods. Former industrial zones are virtually gone, looking like war zones, looking like bombs were dropped there a couple of years ago. It's absolutely frightening. It's very disturbing. Flint, Michigan, ladies and gentlemen, is disappearing neighborhood by neighborhood, house by house. This is not funny. But what this is sort of the slow warfare, the economic warfare of the central bankers. They are like an invading force in many ways. And instead of everything crumbling all at once in military warfare, it gradually crumbles in economic warfare. And economic warfare in many respects, of course, is much nastier. It's much more subtle. It's much harder to identify. It's a tricky, frighteningly seductive sleight of hand that's working its will on the largely unsuspecting American public. And so tonight's guest, Ellen Brown, will help us unveil the banking fraternity and what they're up to, but most importantly, to point towards solutions. We don't want to get too distraught in observing what's going on, as disturbing and unsettling as it is. And so we'll be talking with Ellen Brown after these upcoming messages to unravel the banking riddle a little bit, to focus a lot on solutions. We're expecting a caller after the first half hour or so, after the bottom of the hour, from a gentleman in Michigan who is actually on the front lines trying to introduce some real reform there instead of the bogus reform that we get through so-called federal bailout packages that are designed for the ultra-rich, for those from the gilded class, but tend to overlook the lower and middle classes without fail. So you're going to want to hear Ellen Brown in this coming hour to discuss the money riddle, to unravel it, to talk about real solutions, and to hear about a man in Michigan that's trying to apply those solutions, provided he can call. I'm expecting he can. And this ought to be a very interesting hour. We'll learn about her book, The Web of Debt. Right now on republicbroadcasting.org, you can read my story that's posted about a good friend of sound and constitutional money, the late Father Charles Edward Coughlin. And that's posted right now on RBN. And under the headline, Populist Priest Father, the End the Fed Movement. And I think that is very largely true. You're going to want to check that out on our website. It's, I think, the top national story right now. There's some really neat pictures there. But we'll also remember him briefly tonight, and there'll be some clips of his speeches in the second hour tonight in a rebroadcast. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Ellen Brown, author of Web of Debt.
On her decks were guns as big as steers and sails as big as trees. If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free cop 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293. And be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Now back to the nation's leading roving reporter, When Worlds Collide host and American Free Press writer, Mark Anderson.
Okay, we're rolling into the hour here. We're going live the first hour. We'll do a rebroadcast second hour of some of the great speeches of Father Charles E. Coughlin. There's at least one good one, if not two, in that rerun from last week. But this live first hour, we're talking with Ellen Brown, the author of Web of Debt. And I understand that we also have a guest caller coming, a Michael Savant, who's working on some sort of banking reform in Michigan, an especially hard-hit state in the Federal Reserve-owned United States. But Ellen Brown, are you out there?
I am. Great to talk to you, Mark.
Absolutely. I remember seeing you in March at Payman's conference in Irvine. I read your book. I've read the social credit book. I've been devouring this stuff, burning the midnight oil, having saggy eyes during the day, not sleeping enough, all that stuff. And it's not a drinking problem. That's a rumor, not true. But anyway, I know your book has been out for, what, about a year now?
No, actually it came out in the summer of 2007.
Oh, it's that long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought it was 08, maybe.
Well, it's been through several revisions already. I first got it out when those two Bear Stearns hedge funds collapsed, and so it's self-published by print on demand, so I could get it out 2 weeks after they collapsed. I actually talked about that in one part of the book and got it in print.
That is what you call getting it out and on time. That's great. Well, the book, of course, taught me a lot, especially the author of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz and the allegorical and symbolic meaning of that original composition. But tonight, I don't want to spend too much on the history. We have a live hour here. I want to focus mostly on solution-oriented, change-oriented things that represent genuine progress whenever and wherever it's possible. I do know that you outline in the book historically what's been used as money, the creation of the Bank of England in 1694, how private central banking, as we know it today, seemed to really take root around that time, around the 1690s, and that slowly but surely the curtain was drawn on monetary freedom, and now we have, of course, economic and monetary slavery of the highest refined order. And it's bringing our towns to ruins. Michigan is especially hard hit. But a lot of listeners, not all, but of course many, if not most on this network, know about the history of it in one form or degree or another. But I understand Michael Savant has already called the station and is on the line now. So kind of steering into this, the idea of state banks, Ellen, is mentioned in your book, A Web of Debt. You go into it in considerable depth. My understanding of that part of it is a little limited, but I think what you essentially mean is banks would control their own credit and operate their own banks accordingly. Kind of take it from there and maybe kind of apply it to Michigan just as an example.
Okay. All of our credit or all of our money today is created by banks, all of it, except for coins, which compose only about 1/10,000th of the money supply, virtually nothing. And Federal Reserve notes, we know, are created by the Federal Reserve, which is a privately owned central bank, which issues Federal Reserve notes and lends them to the U.S. government and to other banks. So all of our money is bank-created. It's all debt, and the banks are not lending right now for various reasons. Their books have been clogged with toxic assets. They have to do what any private corporation does, which is look to their short-term profits, their bottom line. And we could do the very same thing with public banks. Every state could have its own bank doing exactly what the private banks are doing, and the state banks would not have those limitations. They would have a clean set of books. They would not have to worry about their short-term profits. They could think long-term in terms of what the state itself needed, and they have a huge amount of assets that they can use to leverage into loans. That's what banks do. They create many times as many loans as they have reserves and capital. There's an 8% capital requirement imposed from abroad by the Bank for International Settlements, and then there's a reserve requirement imposed by the Federal Reserve, which is pretty easy to get around. But anyway, you take your deposits and your capital base, and then you can leverage that into many times that sum in loans. So all banks do this. But a state has a huge amount of capital and a huge amount of potential deposits. The one state that does this already is North Dakota. They've done it since 1919. They're the only state in the union that is adding jobs while all the rest are losing jobs. They're one of only two states that's able to meet its budget right now. And so the one thing that they have that nobody else has is they have their own state-owned banks. So they are creating their own credit instead of being dependent on Wall Street. And the way they got that way was that in 1919, they were going through what we're going through now. The farmers were losing their farms, and all the money was going out of state to the Wall Street bankers. And so they got together. They did a populist movement and implemented legislation by which they set up their own bank, in which all of the state's deposits would go into this one bank, the Bank of North Dakota. And that bank could create credit for things that the state needed. So they have one of the best student loan programs in the country. They make very low interest loans to start up farmers, and they partner with the other banks. So they're not really in competition with the banks. They're actually backstopping the other banks, and they take the loans they buy loans off the other banks in order to make room on the other bank's books for yet more loans. So they just keep the whole credit engine going, and that's every other state is blocked. We can't get credit going. All the states are going bankrupt, and I totally agree with you. It is a war. It was a war that was, so far the international bankers have fought against the third world, and that's how they've basically gotten every other country enslaved or indentured to this debt system, and now they've come back on us, and it's working, as you say. Just look at Detroit. So the fear, the reason we have to do this quickly, is that there is a clear effort to make us all be subservient to probably the IMF, some global central bank that would then issue a global currency, and we'd all have to borrow it. Once we lose our standing as the global reserve currency, when we can no longer pay our debts in dollars and we have to borrow in some foreign currency, we too will be reduced to debtor supplicants like everybody else. And that appears to be the idea, so they can have their global government.
Okay, so therefore it's a, come on, we got to head them off at the pass kind of situation. And this state bank idea, while it may not be perfect in all respects, and while there is some interest involved, what is commonly called usury, it at least there's a degree of sovereignty and independence involved, and it steers away from the direction of internationalizing this thing through, let's say, IMF special drawing rights. So what I'm hearing is that while it may not be a complete shield or the best sword in the world, it is something that we can pull out of our arsenal to head this off at the pass to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
This
actually, we think it is a complete shield. The interest is going back to the state. In North Dakota, gives a 25% return on its equity. I mean, that's a very good interest rate. They pay huge amounts of money back to the state. They don't make any profits themselves, the bank. So,
I don't mean to interrupt, but yeah, go on.
It's a state-owned bank, and in North Dakota, the way it's set up, it's called North Dakota Doing Business as the the state of North Dakota Doing Business as the Bank of North Dakota. So it's a DBA. That means all the state's assets are the assets of the bank, and vice versa. So this is the bank of the people, issuing the credit of the people for the purposes of the people, and it's right in their mission statement that they have to do these.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So therefore, they don't have to be a member of the Federal Reserve System. Do they even have to be FDIC members?
They are not FDIC members, which is a very interesting point. They are self-insured. And, of course, because they have the deep pocket of the state, they can insure that. We know the FDIC is bankrupt, so you really don't want to be in that system. If you were a big state bank, you're going to have to be paying very high premiums to the FDIC to support the other banks that are going under.
Well, I want to be cautious of our time. Time is, of course, the most valuable currency of all. Is Michael Savant with us? I understand he might be on the line.
Yes, I am, Mark.
That's great. I don't want you hanging there forever. Let's bring you right in here. I don't know what your schedule is. Ellen, just kind of bear with me. But Michael, having listened to what Ellen is saying, and no doubt you know her fairly well and what she's about, what's going on there? I understand you're in Michigan trying to kind of help implement this or at least get the idea rolling.
Well, to correct you a little bit there, I'm going to be moving to Michigan, but I'm currently in California, not all that far from where my good friend Ellen does live herself. But as a result of the momentum that has been generated around this concept there in Michigan, that it became pretty self-evident that was the center of gravity to this effort, and justified relocating there to help to drive this effort there. If I may share what happened, go ahead.
Well, we have brief messages coming up, then we'll have about 4 or 5 minutes. Bear with me. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with our main guest, Ellen Brown, author of Web of Debt, and guest Michael Savant. We'll be right back on Monetary Reform. Stay tuned.
Never sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and sails as big as trees.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Now back to the nation's leading roving reporter, When Worlds Collide host and American Free Press writer, Mark Edson Anderson.
And we're back for about a 4 or 5 minute segment before the bottom of the hour. And we just started talking to guest caller, sort of a secondary guest, you might say, Michael Savant, who knows Ellen Brown, our main guest tonight, who's the author of The Web of Debt. Michael, you were starting to kind of establish something right before the break. You were going to explain something. Go right ahead.
Sure. The first thing I want to say is that as a result of my engagement actually in multiple states, I can tell you Ellen's concepts have now hit critical mass and they're going viral. So I think we're beyond a tipping point now where this is starting to really take on a life of its own. And I found that especially when I went there to Michigan, but I am dealing with several other states. But in particular in connection with Michigan, I want to it raises one other concept that I wanted to make sure you got out there, and that is that it's not just the states that can form these own what we call public benefit banks, and that is that counties and cities can do the same thing. So the idea here is actually we can do a distributive concept here that's absolutely going in the opposite direction of what Ellen was talking about, of, you know, one world centralized type effort, that this will take it completely in the opposite direction. And we do have one main county in Michigan right now that we're actively in discussions with about setting up their own bank, as well as some cities, and I am in very active dialogue with a number of legislators who are on the banking committees of both the House and Senate there in Michigan, as well as folks on the executive branch side. And this concept is something that is quite hot right now, and there is a very strong interest in trying to make it happen in whatever way we can. And we've got a particular strategy we are pursuing right now that may be able to accelerate this whole process faster than the way that even that North Dakota did on it. But at this point, given the delicacy of these kinds of issues, I would prefer to hold back on particulars of it, but just to say that things look very, very encouraging there right now in this direction.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to upset the apple cart. When you're at liberty to be more specific about which county, this and that, that's fine. Ellen, what I'm hearing from Michael sounds to me like if it really is as viral as I'm being told, and I have no reason to doubt it at this point, that we at least have some sort of chance to head off what appears to me to be kind of a setting of the dials to where we'll be kind of backed into a corner and forced to take special drawing rights, because it sounds to me like the big central bankers, the big boys, are trying to sink the dollar. As you said earlier, that's sort of a prerequisite to this whole thing. And I have a feeling they have the special drawing rights waiting in the wings, just waiting to be the next actor on the stage. Is that even in the ballpark? Is that maybe how they're operating here?
It definitely is, because they've said as much at the G20. They set up the SDRs as a global currency specifically because, well, one Federal Reserve man said that it's called Triffin's dilemma. The problem with being the global reserve currency, which we are, is that you have to put more money out there than you take back, because the rest of the world is using your currency as the international trade. So therefore, the global reserve currency country has to go into debt, as we have. We owe the rest of the world more than they owe us. So in order, eventually, you have to deal with your own debts, but that means some other reserve currency has to be set up, which all sounds logical enough, but we wouldn't have to get into any of that. I mean, we could keep our dollars and we could keep them strong if we paid off our debts with dollars, which is what we should have paid in the first place. There's really no difference between issuing a bond and issuing a dollar. I mean, that was said by Edison back in the 20s. If a government can issue bonds, it can issue dollars. So we could fix our whole problem by taking back the money system, make it a government-issued system instead of a banker-issued system.
Right, where we don't issue bonds and create an obligation or debt, but where we issue money directly, where there is no debt created when the money is created.
Right, you're not really. It sounds like you're inflating, but you're really not, because you're issuing that money as a receipt for something, for goods and services. So that's the same thing that the American colonists did for 100 years, and that they supposedly fought the American Revolution for, but they lost the revolution. I mean, they won the revolution, but they lost the power to issue their own money to the
Right. So ultimately, the European powers won, because where military warfare failed, economic warfare prevailed.
Yeah.
And the 1816 charter was signed for the First Bank of the United States, I believe.
Second.
And yeah, that's right. And that expired in 1836 under Andrew Jackson, who saw to it that it expired. I know we only have a minute or two before the bottom of the hour. We do have a caller, and we'll be getting to that caller, Ann from Oregon. And there's the telltale music I think I hear in the distance. Anyway, we'll be right back with Ellen Brown, the author of Web of Debt, and I want to ask Michael Savant to stay on the line for a little bit more commentary and reports, and we'll be right back talking about real solutions to the bankers. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and sails as big as trees.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Here's Dr. John Madden, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Now back to the nation's leading roving reporter, When Worlds Collide host and American Free Press writer, Mark Anderson.
Okay, and we're back roaring into another longer segment, talking to Ellen Brown, author Web of Debt, and an associate of hers, or colleague, Michael Savant, who's going to a lot of different states to help try and inaugurate the idea of state banks with a clean set of books where the states and even localities control their own banks. American Free Press, for which I'm deputy editor, has done a lot of coverage of things like social credit, the end the Fed rallies, the audit the Fed bills, different things. The House did pass, as is reflected in the current American Free Press, number 52, the last issue of the year. The House did pass H.R. 4173 with a audit the Fed measure in it, at least an agreeable development, something in the right direction. You can check that out in American Free Press, issue number 52. In issue number 51, the previous double issue, I covered the end the Fed rally in Dallas, Texas, and some other relevant matters. To check out American Free Press, call 888-699-NEWS. That's 888-699-NEWS. Or go to AmericanFreePress.net. There's also an article there, if you scroll down, where I covered some Dealey Plaza goings-on, a memorial for JFK back on November 22nd. He also was not exactly a friend of the Federal Reserve, according to many. And on RepublicBroadcasting.org, the station's website, you can check out my top article, Populist Priest Fathered the End the Fed Movement, about the great Father Charles E. Coughlin, a erstwhile and vociferous a foe of the Federal Reserve System. Now, speaking of modern-day foes, we have Ellen Brown, our guest. And Ellen and Michael, this does sound promising, what I've heard so far, and I know a little bit about the background of state banks. Ellen, I know a lot of people would wonder, before we bring the caller on, about these state banks in that they would have a clean set of books, they would have the state's own credit, and it would be very much a step in the right direction. We've already more or less established sort of a way to head off the introduction of special drawings, and if that ever happened, there'd probably be a point of no return. But they would, for a time, they would still use Federal Reserve notes. That's something that's another change, I suppose, that would have to come later, correct?
I think you could continue to use Federal Reserve notes. What you would do is nationalize the Federal Reserve. I mean, it's supposed to be federal. Everybody thinks it's federal. In fact, William Jennings Bryan, who was the lion, supposedly, in The Wizard of Oz, he was the principal opposition to the Federal Reserve Act in Congress, and he was so deceived about what it was about that he thought he had actually won. He said absolutely there was no way he would ever vote for an act that would give the power to create the national money supply to private bankers, that it had to be a federal power. And then when the act was they rewrote it and made it so obscure that nobody could really tell what was going on. They renamed it from the Aldrich Act to the Federal Reserve Act. And so he thought he had actually won. He was excited about this act, and he supported it. So, and even if you read it today, you can't really see where it says in there that the Federal Reserve can just create all the money it wants and lend it. But that's what they do, because that's what banks have done for hundreds of years. It was just like, that's the policy, that's the practice, and so that's what they're still doing, fractional reserve lending. So if you just nationalize the bank, Federal Reserve notes would be our national currency. I mean, they are our national currency.
But, yeah, but we could obviously rename them to take that stigma off of them and just call them United States notes or something like that.
I suppose that I'm just thinking of the practicalities. I mean, there's so many paper notes out there, and you'd have to change them.
Yeah, well, the new money would drive out the old money, I suppose. Gresham's Law, correct?
I suppose.
Well, very interesting. I know there'll be a lot of questions on that. I've heard of nationalizing the Fed. When people say, this a quick question, then we'll bring on the caller and talk to Michael some more. When people say end the Fed and nationalize the Fed, like Steve Zarlinga, the author of The Lost Science of Money, runs the American Monetary Institute, he basically says that ending the Fed and nationalizing the Fed are more or less one and the same thing. Do you agree?
Well, if you ended it and you gave those functions to the Treasury, it would be the same thing, yes.
Okay. I would definitely root for renaming the money United States notes and don't have that Federal Reserve name in there. But I know what you mean. It would sort of function like the way we erroneously assume it works today, only it would work for real. And at any rate, let's bring the caller on. Ann from Oregon, thanks for hanging on. You still there?
No problem. You there?
Yes. Yeah. What would you like to ask or add here?
Well, I've read Ellen's book and really find what she and Michael and several people are trying to do just wonderful. But I'm wondering how we're going to best reach out to the American public to get them past the idea that public banking means the government's taking over their money, when they, you know, people have been so resistant because of the way the teabaggers are out there talking about, you know, get government out of my life, and here we are. It looks like bringing in more, but we're actually, I know we're not, but we are, but it feels like it is for most.
If I may, Ellen, just interject one thing. One thing that I've written about in American Free Press, and this addresses your question, Ann, is that a lot of people erroneously assume that all government regulation is bad. What we really have, in my view, is an irregulated or misregulated government, where government regulates the things it should not, but does not regulate the things that it should. It doesn't regulate trade, even though our Constitution says it should. It doesn't regulate our borders, even though it should. And it doesn't regulate our money, even though the Constitution says it should. And yet there's all these other areas where government ought to keep its nose out. I would offer that government regulates where it shouldn't and doesn't regulate where it ought to. What do you think, Ellen?
I think we don't have control of our government. It's actually in the hands of the financial mafia, or And because they have the power to create money, they can buy every legislator, which is what they do, because they buy them with their campaign contributions. I mean, the legislators need that support, and if they don't have it, they won't keep their seats, so they have to go along with big money. So if we got back the power to create money, we could get back our government, and then our government would do things that were to our benefit.
Interesting. We also have another caller coming in. Anything you'd like to add, Michael?
No, that's fine. Well,
Okay. Is there anything more to report from what you were saying earlier? Anything about other states?
What we are finding is that this idea, as I was saying earlier, is kind of going viral. And, for example, one other state that the governor of that state was recently heard on NPR talking about a state bank concept, and I just received a report about that the other day, and I know that a number of legislators within that state are trying to actively try and pursue that, and we've just started the dialogue with them. That happens to be Washington State, by the way. I can tell you that we have several East Coast states where we've had direct contact with the governors back there. And as of right now, the interest is high on this, but given the momentum we've got going in Michigan, they would like to see how it unfolds in Michigan to serve as a model. And I think that what we could easily see is once the first one jumps, that I would fully expect to be seeing a number of others follow on the heels of it very rapidly. I mean, Ellen was pointing out earlier that there are only two states that are solvent in the entire country, and that means there's 48 governors out there, chief executives, who have budgets that are underwater and going deeper underwater very rapidly, and they have no other solution set on their table.
So there is another dimension
that I want to come back later to talk about what North Dakota's doing, which we are recommending to these states as one of the first things they could do to address a very widespread problem dealing with the foreclosure problem right now.
Let me add a couple things here. For one thing, what's the other state that's solvent besides North Dakota?
I think it's the one right next. Is it Montana?
Montana.
Okay, in the same region. Interesting. Just a footnote there. Also, this is sort of a side note. Is it true, Michael or Ellen, do you happen to know whether these CAFRAs, these so-called hidden accounts that states are supposedly in possession of, comprehensive annual financial reports or CAFRAs, is it true?
That is a very interesting issue, and I was going to about that. I think that's where we can get the capital for these banks. Every state does have those, and so does the federal government. I mean, you could consider, for instance, all the money that Social Security has socked away as one of these investment pools. All the agencies, all the municipal governments, they all, when they have a surplus, instead of putting it back into next year's budget, which is what you would naturally think they would do,
yes,
they sock it away in these investments. I mean, I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's all there on the books. You can see it there. But the argument is that, well, that money was given by those voters in that particular area for that particular thing, and they don't want to share it or give it back, so they invest it. So, like in California, the treasurer is overseeing $62 billion worth of investments, this big invest pool. But if you said to the treasurer, well, let's use that money, why don't we put that back into the budget, they'll say, oh, no, that belongs to all those various government agencies that gave it to us for safekeeping, and it's up to them whether, what they want to do with it. But I would say give them the option. They're now making 4.3% interest on that money. Give them the option to make 6% interest if they put it into equity in our state bank. And we, the bank, will be the market maker. We'll say you can have your money back at any time because we know we can get other agencies. I mean, everybody's going to be clamoring to get in for the 6% investment. So we could use that money, leverage it into 10 times that sum in loans and pay off the whole state debt and still have a lot of money. I mean, you wouldn't pay off the debt. You'd roll it over into interest-free loans. And then you'd still have a lot of money left over for all sorts of
Okay, things. let me make sure I get a couple things straight. It'd be possible to have interest-free loans in this overall schematic we're talking about?
Yeah, well, if you want to look like you're doing what everybody else is doing, you could charge interest on them, but the interest is going to go back to the government. So in that sense, it's interest-free. Like the Bank of Canada did that for many years. They funded the government, where the government paid them interest, but it was a government bank. So they got the interest, so it was basically interest-free.
Interesting. That certainly deserves some scrutiny, but nevertheless, it does sound in many ways very promising. So these CAFRAs, these Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, instead of the cream being skimmed off from each year's budget and being tucked away, it could be cycled into this system is what you're essentially saying.
It could still belong to all those agencies, but you'd use it for your capital base to create many times that sum in loans, which all banks do.
So therefore, the entire community, municipality, state, county, whatever the entity is, could benefit rather than the benefit being deferred or sort of limited.
Right. You could actually pay them more interest than what they're getting now. There's a man in Florida, Dr. Tavari, who's running for governor, and he's running on a state bank platform, and he showed that you could pay refinance home loans at 2%, and you would still make 18% because you would take your original money and you would lend it out 9 times over. That's what banks do. So let's say we got that money at 2% from the agencies. We lent it 9 times over at 2%. We can be giving 2% loans to homeowners, and we, the state, will still be making 18% less 6%, so we'll be making 12%.
So you're putting out more loans at less interest rather than fewer loans at more interest, if I'm hearing you right. And to apply this to a tangible thing, then a lot of these dilapidated homes in Detroit could be repurchased, rebuilt. People that are just about to lose their homes in Flint or Detroit or wherever could hang on to their homes by refinancing. And then we wouldn't have this incredible spreading urban blight, this cancer, destroying Flint and Detroit and other cities, if I'm hearing you right, because people could either keep the home they have or regain the home they lost or whatever.
Right. That was that idea that Michael was starting to talk about.
Yeah, and that's just the residential properties, not to mention what it would do for commercial and industrial. A lot of people are, you know, up in arms about all the dangerous toys that come from Asia, especially China. I think it's creating kind of a more of a demand for Buy American. You know, maybe this could help fuel a reintroduction for manufacturing here. Perhaps we could put some tariffs on imports, which I support, and some of that revenue could also be used for this banking system, I'm surmising, from tariffs. But at any rate, it's very interesting here, and it at least offers a glimmer of hope. I think we need more than just clamoring for ending the Fed or nationalizing the Fed. I think we need more than just saying the Fed is evil, which it essentially is in its basic system. But we got to have some kind of solutions that can be tried, and I want to commend you and Michael for at least stepping up to the plate here. Michigan being my home state, I have something of a soft spot for Michigan, but anywhere this happens, it's just atrocious. The pictures I've seen of Detroit are just unbelievable. Go right ahead.
Essentially, one of the things I wanted to point out is that North Dakota, we understand that they are buying up the bad real estate loans from their community banks, which has a dual thing. This is one of the key things that we're recommending right now to the various folks we're dealing with there in Michigan. There's a two-pronged benefit here that, one, that to the extent that the central bank would purchase up these the toxic loans, especially at the full book value, the net result for the bank, and this is one of the key problems of community banks right now, is that their asset portfolios have gone down so much that they are really in a position where they can't lend anymore. Whereas if those loans are purchased and taken out of their portfolio, now they get back to a position where they can lend, so that the bank is able to start introducing credit back into the businesses, the community, et cetera. But the flip side of this is the benefit to the homeowners, that when either a state or a county or a city does this and they take over the mortgage loan, they now are in a position to be able to do things the community banks can't do, and that is they can write down the loan, they can renegotiate it, they can give even moratoriums. Back in the Depression days, community banks didn't have the regulators over their necks like they do now, and it was very common back in those times where they basically said, look, you know, we understand what's going on. If you can't make a payment now, you know, fine, we'll hold off. If you can give us a reduced payment, fine, we'll do that. The community banks worked with the homeowners, kept them in their homes, and adjusted. Well, a state or a county or whatever could do that same thing today, which would essentially deal with the huge foreclosure problem we've got out there right now.
So that flexibility, that working with people approach, that whole ethic could return then. Okay, very interesting.
And that addresses the issue that Ann was saying from Oregon.
We have messages here, Michael. We'll be right back after these brief messages. Thanks for bearing with me.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage the symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first-of-its-kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa.
Now back to the nation's leading roving reporter, When Worlds Collide host and American Free Press writer, Mark Anderson.
Okay, we're ripping back into just the last few minutes here of When Worlds Collide. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, American Free Press Deputy Editor. I've been doing this show since March of 08. It's a very good time, that's for sure. We're talking to the author of Web of Debt, Ellen Brown, and an associate of hers, Michael Savant. Get that right, of course. And we do have another caller. I want to get to that caller right now. Steve from Colorado, what would you like to ask or add?
Oh, hey, great, I'm on. First of all, hello, everyone. Happy holidays.
You too.
The,
Thank you. The numbers that you just cited, Ellen, that broke down, I was trying to write them. I guess you're starting with 20%, less than 2% to loan the money, 18% left over, less than 6% that you pay back for the use of the money. You walk away with 12%. Is that correct?
It was 9 times 2%. If you're lending at 2%, and you can leverage it 9 times over, so that's 18%.
Okay, yeah, the bank fractional reserve system.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We have a new website. It's called public-banking.com. And Dr. Kavari, there's an article about Dr. Kavari and his thinking. It's one of the
very
top
good
articles.
That's what I wanted to know. I wanted the contact information for you. Yeah, that would be your website, yes?
Yeah, that and my other website is webofdebt.com.
Webofdebt. Okay, I'll let you guys close off the show. Love the great information. And my last question is, why can't individuals put their money together and do the same thing, start an individual bank?
They could, in theory. The problem is that you just are not going to have the asset base, and because it's actually a very bad climate for small startup banks right now, you're liable to go bankrupt.
Got it. All right, I'll follow up with you later. Happy holidays again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Steve. Well, we're going to go into the last 4 or 5 minutes here, Michael and Ellen. And just to sort of summarize, Ellen, just your quick opinion on this measure that passed as part of H.R. 4173 to audit the Federal Reserve. What do you think of it in short?
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. We're peeling back the layers of the onion. And one thing about trying to implement state banks is that just arguing, even if we lose, just arguing about it in these legislatures so that people see how banking really works. Once you understand the whole mechanism, it's going to be so much easier to get a real groundswell of a popular movement to change things.
You know, I agree with that. It does sort of unmask how rather simple it is when for decades and decades, aided and abetted by the Federal Reserve-owned or controlled media, we've been kind of given this fog machine that's kind of a shroud over everything. Ooh, 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 you're not supposed to understand money. Don't watch my right hand. Don't watch my left hand. It's mm-hmm. a sleight of hand. You know, it's hocus pocus. And the average person has been led to believe that money is only for the experts. But what thing affects man, women, and children, every man, woman, and child more than money? I mean, it'd be great if we could all repair our own car. We'd save a lot of money. But the money itself affects every living being. And it's the one thing that everyone ought to understand. And yet almost nobody does. And I think what you said there has some merit, that it'll grill and instruct these legislatures on what they're supposed to be doing.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, winding up the show, I hear the departing music. We're going to have the next hour as a rebroadcast. I have someplace I have to go. And the rebroadcast includes great audio clips, a couple of them, of the late Bob Coughlin on banking reform, on the need to end the Fed and not let the Fed control the nation's economic destiny. So listen in the next hour for that. It talks about the audit the Fed thing when it just passed, that House bill. And I want to thank you, too, Michael, for chiming in on this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Very informative. We'll get these websites posted on my archive, and we'll be writing some things up in AFP. And we'll see you next time here on When Worlds Collide on RBNs. See you next time. Stay tuned and stay free.
Introducing the new Go.